Good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our learning at Share. Oh, thank you. Welcome back to our learning at Share. We are learning the Lui Nishmas, Miriam Fron, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzchak, Allah HaShalom, Hanashama HaShad Hav and Aliyah, in the merit of our Torah learning. So we are on page 107, and we actually finished the chapter last time, right? Baruch Hashem. So what we're really going to be doing is turning to page 108, except that I said I wanted to finish last chapter with some thoughts of Rav Shimshon Pinkas in his Torah V'Kinyana, Attainment of Torah. So I'm going to start with Rav Shimshon Pinkas as a conclusion to our last chapter. If you could just give me a minute to open it up, okay? And then after this, it's not so long, then we're going to page 108 in the Sefer, okay? Here we go. How do we run after Torah? How do we run after Hashem? How do we acquire? So Rav Shimshon Pinkas says, we need the energy of a storm. The worst thing is to be farshlufin. The worst thing, he says, in Avodas Hashem, in service of God, in your life as a Jew, is to be a sleepyhead, to be farshlufin, to go through life asleep. A Jew must always be excited about Avodas Hashem. This principle, he says, underlines all of Yiddishkeit. To be full of life and zest, not to be a robot. We are not machines. And it's so true, and it's something that I've said before, and I say that a person could be asleep while they're awake. It's possible to go through your whole life sleeping, even while you're awake. Quote, the worst thing, says Rav Pinkas, is to be farshlufin, to be a sleepyhead. You must be excited. And this principle underlies all of Yiddishkeit. You have to have life, you have to have zest, because we're not machines, we're not robots. Think of the quality of a person's divine service. Think of the quality of your tefillah, if you're going through the words farshlufin, which is actually very relevant, because the next chapter is on tefillah, in our sefer. The next chapter is on tefillah. Why are you smiling?
The word,
farshlufin. Oh, okay. Am I saying it right?
Yeah.
That's not the issue.
Yeah.
To be full of life. And what should we do if we don't have zest? How does one acquire zest? So you have three lines of action. One is to grab onto lightning bolts of godless, lightning bolts of inspiration. You see a moment of greatness, you're inspired in the moment, grab onto it. Don't let it pass over you and say, oh, that was very nice, and now continue on your way. Try and make it change you. On the other hand, grab onto greatness, godless, lightning bolts of inspiration and great things. On the other hand, do not neglect even the smallest detail in doing mitzvos. And third, to pray to Hashem for success in Avodas Hashem, which is an exact introduction to our next chapter. We don't tend to daven to Hashem for success in Avodas Hashem. We tend to daven to Hashem for success in everything else. Success with parnasa, success with children, success with shalom bayis, success with dating, success with everything you can put, shopping in the store, cooking for Shabbos. We need success, success, success. But we forget to daven for the basic, which is success in Avodas Hashem. Daven to God for success in serving Him. Hashem, please help me serve you properly. Let me do this properly. Everything must be done with zest and with excitement and holiness, Kedusha. I'm going to quote, I don't know if anybody saw, this was the Mishpacha right after Pesach. And it was very interesting. Did anyone see this? Rabbi Yisrael Grossberg, he's the principal of a school, you know of it, or you saw
no,
the article?
I read the article.
Oh, he's the principal of a school in Brooklyn called Beno Chaya Academy. Yeah, Beno Chaya Academy. It's an alternative Brooklyn high school for girls for whom there is no alternative. It was started 10 years ago from Ornava, Rabbi Zacharia Wallerstein, and he is the principal. If you still have this... Mishpacha, it was fascinating. It was very, very inspiring. But related to what we're learning, I just want to quote one paragraph from here, okay? When a child is taught to go through the motions of an orthodox life that is devoid of true ruchnius, it's devoid of spirituality. You're going through the motions. You're, to use the word, farshlufin, you're sleeping. You're doing all the action, but you're asleep. He may end up thinking there's nothing more to Yiddishkeit than the hollow facsimile he's familiar with. Nothing.
Facsimile?
Oh, facsimile? How do you say it?
Facsimile.
Who uses this word anymore?
A copy,
right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fax machine.
Right, like back in the day when we used fax machines. Yeah. There's nothing more to Yiddishkeit than the hollow copy he's familiar with. Yeah. Rabbi Grossberg offers an all too common conversation. A girl will come and say to him, I hate Shabbos. So So he'll say, okay, describe Shabbos at home. Best case scenario, she describes a situation where the father and brother sit and say Divrei Torah to each other, and the girls have to serve and clear off and wait the meal. Worst case, the father comes home from shul drunk. So I tell her, you don't hate Shabbos, you hate dysfunctional families. God is an easy target because he can't talk back. And I tried to get her exposed to a functioning, proper, spiritually uplifting Shabbos experience. Listen to this one. Listen to this one. Listen, she's at the bonfire. Listen to this one. Just last week, a girl came and she said to me, I hate tefillah. Once again, an introduction to our new chapter. It turns out her mother used to lie in bed reading romance novels while screaming at her, go daven, go daven. So the girl has such a negative association. I know it sounds hysterical, but it's really not. And I said to her, it's not tefillah that you hate. Right. It's very, very powerful. The whole thing is very powerful. That's this mishpacha. I recommend it. But we, this is really what Rav Shimshon Pinkus is telling us, and I hope that it's what we're trying to learn together, to bring Hashem into your life, to live with Hashem. We're counting up to Zman Matan Torah Seinu. We should be excited. A kala counts the days to her weddings. A child counts the days to graduation. This one counts the days to a trip. Counting demonstrates excitement, anticipation. You can't wait for something. You can't wait for Matan Torah. Are you asleep? Are you a robot? Am I a machine? And if I am, I have to grab lightning bolts of godless greatness. On the other hand, says Rav Pinkus, don't neglect the smallest details in Asiyas HaMitzvos. And also, always pray for Hashem for success in Avodas Hashem. Dafka, pray to God that you should be successful in serving Him. Okay? Any questions or comments? You look like you want to say something. What? Okay. Any questions or comments? Okay, so with that, yes.
But sometimes I think the opposite can happen where we feel so stressed out that we feel like machines that are just going to snap at any minute.
You mean not because we're bored, but because it's too intense?
Yes, yes.
Okay, I hear that. I hear that sometimes we become too stressed and then... we reach the boiling point from the other direction. So what are you saying?
Well, that I think that it's just as important then to slow down and say, hey, wait a minute, because there's an article on Aish where the article was called Why Observing Shabbos Makes Me a Better Doctor, and I think a psychiatrist wrote it. And he knows that regardless of the stressors that he has during the week, that for the 25 hours, he's shutting everything else off. Because you really can.
I understand what you're saying. That sometimes you feel like a machine from the stress, not from the complacency and the boredom, but rather from being in overdrive.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I hear that. That's a very nice point. And then sometimes you can lose your thought that way as well, not from lackadaisical. Any fancy words here? I'm not sure if I'm saying them right. Last week I learned I'm really saying a word wrong. Plethora. I used to say, as of last week, I'm embarrassed to say what I used to say. I don't even want to say what I used to say. If you heard last week's recording, then you heard. I used to say plethora. Oh!
A lot of people make that. It's not a common word.
It's really not. It's not a common word.
They're making me feel better.
But it's not common.
I'm happy. But the true pronunciation I learned last week is ready, plethora.
Yeah.
Okay? Did you know that?
Me neither. I don't know if you can hear it, but if you go into...
Yes, it's plethora. Yeah, I heard it.
Plethora.
Okay. Well, I never knew how to say the word. Anyway, we should not be going through life with a lackadaisical attitude on the other hand because it could turn us into robots. On the other hand, Nancy is right. Sometimes when you become too stressed out, you're also in overdrive and you're in autopilot. That's a brilliant point. And you're really not thinking then either because you're so stressed out, you're just going through the motions. Remember we said last week, we quoted Moshe Twersky, if you're rushed, it's not zrizus. If you're rushed, you're late. Sometimes you're so stressed that you're in overdrive and then you're also like a machine. Very nice. Very, very insightful comment. Okay, anything else? Okay. I am prayer. So page 108, and I am prayer. This is based on a pasuk from Tehillim, where David HaMelech says, Va'ani tefillah. And the headline is, if only a person would pray all day long. I'm not sure if that's from Rashi, but I looked up Rashi on Va'ani tefillah. It's a pasuk from Tehillim. He gives you the quote on the source on the bottom. It's kapitol kuf tes, you see it on the bottom. Pasuk dalet, and David HaMelech says, Va'ani tefillah, I am tefillah. Rashi on Tehillim, on that pasuk says, Va'ani mitpalel elecha tamid. What does it mean? What does it mean?
I pray to you always.
I pray to you always. So the question is, how do we translate tamid? And this is something that we've spoken about in our class. How do we translate tamid?
Consistent.
Always and consistent. Tamid means two different things that are complementary. They're not mutually exclusive. On the one hand, Shavisi Hashem Lenegli Samid, God is before me always. God also must be before me consistently. What do we learn this from? The Karban Tamid. Well, my brother taught it to me. But what do we learn from? The Karban Tamid was not brought always, as in 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It was brought daily. It's a daily sacrifice. Consistency in Avodas Hashem. So too, Rashi says about Tfilav, Ani Mitpala Alecha Tamid. So on the one hand, you have to consistently daven to Hashem, consistency in your service of prayer. And on the other hand, we should always be talking to Hashem. And that's certainly, if you read the Hani Malchus book, certainly something that she was always doing. She was like, always, no matter what she was doing or where she was always talking to Hashem. Near the end of the previous chapter, we presented a fundamental principle of avoda, divine service. Excuse me, you must speak to Hashem directly in nochach, second person, opposite you, and not in nistar. Nochach means like opposite. Nochach means a sense of someone is opposite you. Nistar really means hidden. So you understand that you want Hashem to be kaviyachal sitting opposite you and not hidden from you. You understand that? This is one of the most important concepts we will discuss. We must live with Hashem and not feel detached from Him, chas v'sham. So for that, as our introduction, I'm going to quote from Hani Malchus. Okay. In a dialogue with her Azamra Seminary students, Rabbitson Machlis, who they knew was the mother of many children and did massive amounts of chesed, shocked them by revealing her prayer practices. V'ani mitpalal eilecha tamid, says David. V'ani tefillah, no. David says, "Ani tefillah, I am prayer." And Rashi says, "Daven before Hashem, you should be daven to Hashem tamid, always and consistent." Rabbitson Machlis, she said, this is verbatim, "I daven three tefillos a day with everything, the karbanos, everything. And I try to have the karbanos occur between Berakas HaShachar and the beginning of Pesukei Dezimra. And I try to have kavana, intention, intent for every word I say. And I also try to add Shema Koleinu and before the end. But it's not the same as having a private conversation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is his bodedus. I'm just sharing this with you." So the student said, "You have time to daven every day." So she said, quote, "I make time." So the student said, "Three tefillos plus an hour of his bodedus?" So Rabbitson Machlis says, "I try. Yes, I try." And then she says, quote, "I ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu even for that." Remember, we just saw with Shem Pinkas that you need to ask God for success in Avodas Hashem. So Hani said, "You know what I daven for? I daven that I should have time to be able to daven. What do I daven for? That we should be healthy and well and grow and successful and blah, blah, blah." Fill in the blanks. What did she daven for? That she should have time to daven. "Today I woke up at 4 a.m. I tried to say a lot of Tehillim on Shabbos, but I had a lot of married children over the Shabbos. We also know how much company she had every Shabbos. Plus a special couple that needed a lot of guidance. So I didn't get a chance to finish my Tehillim. So I woke up an hour and a half early this morning to finish my Tehillim." Hani's 10-year-old grandson, Asher, testifies, "She davened calmly, v'ani mitpalel elecha tamid, consistent, not only always, consistent." Rav Salvechik says about his father and his grandfather, Rav Chaim Brisker, that's all he says, he davened the exact same at home, in private, and before people. There was no change. If it was in shul, if it was in his house, no matter where he was, it was the exact same Shmona Esrei. You're not davening in front of people, you're davening in front of Ribono Sha'olam. There's no extra kavana if you're somewhere else. Her grandson says she davened calmly without rushing. Let's say she was late to go somewhere. She did not rush in her davening. A regular person, if she needs to go to a dentist appointment, would rush through her davening. But Safta would say, "I'm davening." Davening is more important than a dentist appointment. Sometimes relates her daughter, one more thing called in her footsteps. "I'm too tired to daven." So I tell my husband, I'm too tired. I'm not davening Marv. And then I think Ima would daven Marv, no matter how tired she was, no matter how sick she was. So I daven Marv. But she didn't judge others for not davening like she did. At the hospital, sister was taking care of her, and she couldn't daven with everything going on. And my mother said, right, you shouldn't daven now if it's too hard for you. This was how she always was. She had very high standards for herself, but she never judged others for doing things differently than she did. And this is a very important nakuda in Avodas Hashem, which actually relates, I'm going back to the piece by Rav Shimshon Pinchas that I just quoted, because Rav Shimshon Pinchas then says, after the three nakudos, grab onto the lightning bolts of godless, of greatness. Don't neglect the small things and pray to Hashem for everything. He says there's a fourth principle. When a person is at the height of his success, when he reaches the level where before he's before the throne of glory, he should fall upon his face. He has to remember he's a very small person. When you reach true godless, true greatness, you've reached a certain aspiration, lower yourself. Because if you're all the way up there, don't look down on someone who didn't. Now, Pinchas says this is a great principle. And you know what he says? I think perhaps even greater than the other principles. It's one thing to grab onto greatness, moments, lightning bolts of greatness. And it's another thing, what was number two, not to neglect the small details. And it's another thing to pray for success in all areas. But the fourth principle, as Rav Shimshon Pinchas says, is perhaps even greater than the others, is when you reach the zenith, lower your head. Know that what you achieved compared to what you could have achieved is still small. Don't forget to bow down, to prostrate yourself, so to speak, before the Ribono Shel Olam. And if you got there, don't look down on someone who did not, which is exactly what Henny teaches us as well. For herself, she had very high standards. But for other people, whether it was in tefillah or chesed or in teaching or raising her children, whatever it is, for other people, she didn't look down on them. Okay, so, and she davened three times a day with an Arvis Bodas. And this line is great. The student, you have time to daven every day. And what did she say? I make time. Al tomer l'kasha efna eshna shama lo tifana. Don't say, when I have time, I'll learn, because then what will happen? You're not going to, exactly. You're never going to have time. What is the key? Find the time. And it's true, we find time for what's important.
My mother used to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning to finish. And she never told us to daven. She never insisted that we daven, but she herself would get up. And she would take the phones off the hook to make sure she finished her Tehillim and her daven.
She would what off?
She would take the phone off the hook so nobody should call her. Like even when we were married and we would try to call, like we couldn't call her until she was finished. She wasn't as busy though as that.
Wow.
But she never asked, you know, told us, you know, the girls, you know, go daven, go, you know. It's interesting, I'm thinking back, like, why did she say to us, go daven also? She didn't.
Wow.
We davened anyway.
Yeah, because you did it because she wasn't like Lahavdil, the mother laying in bed reading romance novels. This is a direct quote from Mishpacha magazine, screaming at her daughter, go daven, go daven. So the daughter comes to Rabbi Grossberg and says, I hate tefillah. So Rabbi, you're laughing. Why are you laughing?
It's hysterical.
It's so sad.
It's so sad.
It's awful.
It's really so sad. So this girl has such a negative association with prayer. She hates prayer. She hates tefillah. So that's why she didn't tell you, because she didn't need to tell you. This has ice in it. That is cool. She didn't need to tell you because you learned through her actions. Without being condescending of anyone else, she was setting an unbelievable example.
Amen.
Let's go.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, you said that you should talk to Hashem, no kach, in second person. I think, isn't there, shetchi kamayim li beich no kach,
Hashem? Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's very nice.
That, right? That's a form of tefillah, to just pour your heart out.
Like water, opposite before Hashem. Very nice, beautiful. Mm-hmm. Very nice. Now with Hashem's help, we will discuss the level of tefillah. David HaMech, I thought it was very interesting when I started preparing and I came to this chapter, because a lot of the Sefer, we keep saying this is for men, or even though we've extrapolated and learned so many lessons, here we come to something we can all relate to in such a primary way. Now with Hashem's help, we will discuss the level of tefillah, prayer. David HaMelech revealed the true relationship to tefillah when he said, "Vani tefillah." I already told you what Rashi says. Ani mitpalel lecha tamid, one hand consistent, one hand always. His entire life, from beginning to end, was all about prayer. David HaMelech is also the one who said, "Acha she'alti me'es Hashem osa vakish shifti be'es Hashem kol yemei chayai lachzus benom Hashem levakar be'echala." What did David HaMelech say? One thing I ask from God, "Acha she'alti me'es Hashem osa vakish." This I ask: I should dwell in the house of Hashem all the days of my life. So if Aaron Lichtenstein says David HaMelech says, "Acha she'alti me'es Hashem," one thing I want to dwell in the temple of the Lord, one thing I want to pray all the time. David HaMelech, who built a palace and established the city and had a government and formed the first commonwealth in Jerusalem, that's all he did. So Rav Aaron Lichtenstein explains that his hashkafa was, even when he was involved with the mundane things in life, it's as if he was always davening. It's as if he was always in the sanctuary of Hashem, which could really be our attitude. Excuse me, which is something that I told you, I've learned from Henny. When I'm doing the laundry, please let the stains come out of the clothing. When you're preparing the fruit, let it have all the sweetness, the natural sugar, the vitamins that we need. No matter what you're doing, David HaMelech teaches us, your true relationship is to be connected to Hashem. His entire life, from beginning to end, was about tefillah. This teaches us, beyond the three prayers, the Chazal established to say each day, Shachris Minchat Arvis, the proper approach is, if only a person would pray all day long. If only, but we can't. But in a sense, we can. We can go through our lives as if we're praying to Hashem. What does this mean? Above, we spoke about feeling Hashem is next to you. So that sort of relates to what we both says. Nochach vayeter tzach Hashem lenochach ishto ki akara. They were opposite each other. And on the other end, if the person's right, like you're opposite the table from me, so that person is right there with you. You should feel that Hashem is right next to you. And you should feel His divine providence. But we have not yet dealt with the principle of prayer, tefillah. We stated we have to recognize that He exists. We have to recognize His presence. We have to recognize His providence. You know, I'm reading a book now. I'm reading a book about when the state was established. The first, it's ridiculous, called the Air Force. What did Israel do? They didn't have an Air Force. The British left, and all the Arab armies attacked. Seven Arab armies attacked. So they managed to buy some very old, broken-down fighter jets and airplanes from different countries, and they had volunteer fighters come from Britain, Jewish people from Britain, Jewish fighters. They fought in World War II, the United States, whomever. They decided to volunteer. They started off their Air Force. They had five fire jets. Literally five. The Egyptian army alone was hundreds, and then there was Transjordan, and then there was Syria, five, and then a few were down, and I was at the point in the book when there was literally one left. They had to go on bombing missions, and they have one plane. How did anyone survive? It was only by divine providence. By nature, such a thing can't be. And I was thinking to myself, and I was reading, "Ela barecha ve'ela basusi ve'anachnu b'shem Hashem Elokeinu naskir." There's no possibility that al pi teva, what happens to the Jews, should ever be. There's no possibility. My grandfather, whose yurtzeit was today, 17th Iyar, Lamed Beis Omer, Simcha Aryeh ben Yosef Tzvi, who was a very young boy when his father died in World War I, a year and a half. And then by the time the Holocaust came around, he was married with three daughters, Golda, Ita, and Leah, Hashem Yinkom Damo. His wife was murdered in Auschwitz, his mother was murdered in Auschwitz, his daughters were murdered. And when we were in Eretz Yisrael for Shavuos, when I was living in Eretz Yisrael in the 1990-1991 school year, he came for Shavuos, and we went to the Kotel, and there was Birkat Kohanim, and there were, of course, tens of thousands of Jews, and he was an elderly man at this point, and he said in Yiddish, "Who would ever have thought I would live to see this in my lifetime? From the Chorban that he witnessed to the Binyan that came back, Al Pi Teva, the things that happened to Knesset Yisrael should not be. We are constantly linked. We are inexplicably linked to the Ribono Sha'olam in a way that is constantly strengthened via tefillah." This is on the sentence we stated. We must recognize His existence. We must recognize His presence. And we must recognize His providence. But in fact, every challenge in one's avodah and every spiritual attainment must involve tefillah. Did you hear what he just said? Every spiritual attainment. That means we don't attain anything in Gashmias, whether it's Parnassa or Shidduchim or children or Shalom Bayis or success in any realm without Hashem. But on the other hand, we also don't attain any spiritual attainment without Hashem. And I think, I could be wrong, but I think it's something that, you know, Hashem, help me have success in my davening. We need to daven to be successful in davening. Hashem, help me have success in doing this mitzvah. We stated above, a person must recognize Hashgacha Pratis, divine providence. For example, you might move your hand. This is an example that we've heard many times. You will ask yourself, who moved it? With my physical eyes, right, you move your hand, it seems as if I moved it. But I know, Ribono Shel Olam, the one who is truly moving my hand is you. No one lifts a finger down below unless a proclamation is issued from above. Ein Adam Nekov Etzbo Milamala, Milamata, Ala Imkein Mechrizin Alav Milamala, says the Gemara. Nothing moves down here. So you should introduce the aspect of tefillah. What should you say? Intellectually, I know you govern the world. It's you who moves my hand. But my heart makes me feel a person controls himself. It's so true. So often, as we go through the day, we feel that we control ourselves and we control our own destiny. I heard Rabbi Penner share a beautiful thought a couple of years ago. I was listening to a shir he gave on tefillah. And he said, why we daven three times a day is because Chazal say we should daven three times a day. But hashkafically, what does tefillah three times a day teach us? It only takes a few hours for a person to forget who is in control. It only takes a few hours from Shachris to Mincha. You know, Shachris, you remember, you're grounded, you're redirected, rerouting, like what he says, rerouting. You're rooted for your day. And then things go well, or things go one way or another way, and we forget who's really in control. Shani texted me this evening without any details, just that she was feeling frustrated. Is that okay that I said that? And she was, well, now that I said it, I also feel frustrated sometimes. Do more often than I would like. And then Shani did something tremendous. She was reminding herself, Hashem's in control, Hashem's in control, Hashem's in control. How did it go?
I turned it into a funny story. It wasn't amusing at the time, but...
Okay. It's very hard to reroute ourselves. It's very hard in the moment, rerouting. So Rabbi Penner says... Why we daven three times a day is because of halachas, we daven three times a day. What can you learn from three tefillos a day? It only takes a short amount of time for us to forget who's in charge. And that's me when I become frustrated. Why am I frustrated about anything? Last week, Friday, I had a very frustrating day. I felt very pressed for time. I felt very rushed. So I forget Hashem's in control. Where am I up to? Hence, you should introduce the aspect of tefillah. Oh, intellectually, I know you govern the world, and therefore it is you who moves my hand. But my heart makes me feel a person controls himself, and that's what happens when we forget. I ask you, Hashem, enable my intellectual knowledge to influence my heart, so it too will really feel this truth. Daven for success in tefillah. Daven for success in recognizing the Shkach HaPratis. Should I tell you a secret? I didn't tell his name. It's not going to be such a secret anymore. It's going online, but I could show it to you in my calendar. Because the last two Fridays, I felt very stressed out. So I put a weekly reminder in my calendar for 12:15, which is when my kids start to come home Friday. I can't believe I'm telling you this. Why does it stay?
Stay calm.
It's cute.
I didn't do it now. I wasn't here. I put it in and I thought, this is not working. I'm too stressed out on Friday. And I was thinking to myself on Friday that look how strong the Yetzer is. The closer you come to Kedusha, the stronger the Yetzer gets. So I put into, I really did not tell somebody, but now I told tell you because maybe it could help us on our Vodas Hashem. I put a weekly reminder for 12, stay calm in capitalized. Every Friday. Whatever else is on the calendar for Friday, stay calm. That what?
I said now the days are longer.
And it's still not easy for me.
Shabbos is so long until it starts.
I know.
It's a lot of work.
It's always busy.
And also, the closer you get to Kedusha, the stronger the Yetzer Hara becomes. You understand that it's not an accident that Friday, for me, is a difficult day, or for some people, let's say it could be Erev Pesach, whatever it is, because the Yetzer Hara becomes stronger the closer you get to Kedusha. Shabbos is a day of Vayinafash, it's to restore the soul, and therefore it becomes, so I hope this is going to help me. It's set for 12:15 p.m., because that's when the kids started to come home, and I wrote, I have to stay calm. I'm not like screaming at anybody, but I feel very, like last week, but I try and still implement what we learn. So I was slicing the pomegranate, and before I cut the pomegranate, I said, Hashem, please let the seeds be red. please let me have as many mitzvos as the pomegranate. Please let them cut away. And I was crying. I was almost crying. That's how stressed I was. Not screaming at anybody, crying. Crying, smacking the pomegranate. And then when the seeds came out red and it looked so beautiful, then I was crying even more. I'm like, Hashem, please answer all our tefillos. As we come closer to Kedusha, the Yetzer Hara becomes stronger. And it's a real battle for me. I don't know if you can relate to this or not. I hope I'm not like the lone wolf here, but...
Oh, no.
Thank you.
No. You know, I have to tell you something. I have a daily reminder in my calendar, it's daily.
That's
7 o'clock in the morning. This is what it says. And it says it 7 days a week, even though I don't look at it all seven. It says...
Wait, shh. One second, ladies, 1 second.
It's a reminder not to get into a fight with my sister. Oh. 7 days a week.
See?
Don't fight with her. Don't get into, because she can be, she gets very...
Wait, ladies, it's hard for me to hear when there's multiple speakers. We'll take the other comments at the end, please, after. I mean,
she gets a little...
Wait, I want to know something. Does it work?
Well, at first it wasn't, and then I talked to somebody about it, and it reinforced it, but I've been reading, like, I even have little notes in there.
So me and Nancy have the same thing.
Don't engage, because she gets jealous, and so I wrote,
Don't engage, stay calm. So I was smacking the pomegranate the way I get out the seeds, and I was dabbing while I'm cutting the pomegranate. Let the seeds be red, let the salad be good, it's a cover chops color, so let me have as many mitzvahs as the pomegranate while I'm crying at the counter, and it's very hard. It's very, very hard to always remember Hashem is in control. Who's moving my hand? So even though intellectually I know something, this paragraph, what he's saying is such a mess, we have to daven that the intellectual knowledge of what I know should be transferred to my heart. So when they came home from Shul, and the boys, he's so cute. Mommy, can I do anything to help you? Mommy, can I do anything to help you? Came home from Shul. Oh, wait, the best. You want to hear the end of the story? Literally 2 minutes till lech benching. Literally. One of the kids dropped a big pair of glass ball all over the floor. It shattered into, I cannot tell you how many pieces. Well, I can't even tell you how many pieces. I found, and it's kind of our big kitchen, glass on the kitchen table, glass behind the bar stools. There was glass. Oh, it was literally, what time is Lech Benching? 28? It was 26. So when my son came home from Shul, one of the other kids, he said, are you okay now, mommy? I was crying with the pomegranate, crying, because intellectually I know something. I know Hashem governs the world. But sometimes there's such a disconnect from what you know in here to what you feel in here. And Hani says, and Rav Shimshon Pinka says, and the Mechaber says, so you have to daven for success in Avodas Hashem also. Not only Hashem, I need this, and I need this, and I need this, and I need this. Help me conquer my Yetzer Hara. Help me improve my prayer. Help me feel it in my heart. I ask you, Hashem, I'm talking to myself, enable my intellectual knowledge to influence my heart. So I will feel, live by, practice truth. So I hope, Hashem, please help me. My state calm reminder, Nancy's reminder should help her. My state calm reminder should be. Does anyone else have certain, these kind of reminders in their phone? No. Okay. We're a team. In other words, besides working to infuse, I just did this. This is the first Friday. It's going to be there. In other words, besides working to infuse the awareness of Hashem's providence, you must engage in prayer. You feel the contradiction between your mind and your heart, which is where you're explaining. Could I just ask you something? Do you relate to what I'm saying, even if it's not specifically on Friday, or even if it's not with the pomegranate or the glass bowl?
Yes.
No?
Yes.
Some yes, some no. Okay. You feel the contradiction between your mind and heart, and you want to really feel the truth. Add a tefillah. Entreat Hashem. Say to Hashem, Master of the world, Ribbono Shel Olam, if you don't help me feel hashkacha, all the effort in the world will not help. I can only initiate an arousal from below, but success comes from you. And these prayers have to be said in the second person. We already spoke about nochach. Such words bring one to a state of ani tefillah, I am prayer. I want to quote from Mrs. Risa Rotman. Any questions or comments? I want to quote from Mrs. Risa Rotman in her book, Tara and Amunah and Hardoff. If you didn't read it yet, I still recommend it. Did anyone read it? Yeah? What do you think?
It's depressing.
It's a hard book.
It's a hard book.
But it's an important book.
Yeah.
So she's talking about speaking. It was post-Pesach. She entered a new subchapter in her journey. The woman in Har-Nof, this is before her husband died of his wounds. He was in a comatose state for almost 1 year. Chashvan to Chashvan, 1 year post-attack. The woman of Har-Nof wanted to hold a Tehillim gathering on Chaim's behalf. There was also a very ill man in the neighborhood, and they asked her to speak. Okay? Her husband was still alive at this point. It was about 6 months or so after the attack. I stood on the spacious open balcony, the inky black night and stars twinkling above me. 200 women were there. I gave a lot of thought and I spoke on emunah, bitachon, and tikva. And I believe I quoted this, but I'm also going to quote something in regard to prayer. Okay? I'm skipping a little. What does she say? In the first principle of the Rambam's 13 principles of faith, we proclaim Hashem creates, guides, and alone osa asa v'yasa. He made, makes, and will make everything. Translating this to my own life situation, writes Risa Ram, and this means the entire terror attack was completely from Hashem, including who was saved, who was injured, who died, al-kiddush Hashem, and sanctification of the divine name. I thank the woman for caring. I pointed out Chaim could have been in the same comatose state for an illness, and then nobody would have been davening for him. Everything was orchestrated by Hashem. Therefore, says Risa, emunah means believing it's all from Hashem. Bitachon is how we carry on in our lives. A little bit extra black humor, dressing up nicely for the hospital, trying to give the kids a stable home. Emunah, it's all from Hashem. Bitachon, how I carry on with my life. I remember we discussed this. What is tikva? Tikva means Hashem can do it all. There's no limit to his ability to cure Chaim. It doesn't mean, I remember we discussed this, I believe in the good fairy happily ever after ending. It means if it's his will, he can do it. Now, then she says, as human beings, Hashem gave us the ability to choose. A key element in most nisyonos is the choice. But if I totally believe the attack was from Hashem, where's the choice? Where's my bechira, she said? What exactly am I choosing? Over time, I realized the choice was not about acceptance, because for her, she accepted it was from God. Ready? The choice was about not becoming bitter. Mm-hmm. At first, I coasted because there was so much care by the entire Jewish world, but then it became harder. Then my avoda was to daven. My work was to pray, asking Hashem, please not let me become bitter, no matter where the story takes me. She davened to Hashem that even though she was choosing not to be bitter, he should protect her from a state of bitterness. You know, when the Jews came to Mara, and Parshas Beshalach, they could not drink the water from Mara because they were bitter. So the Medrash says, who is bitter? Listen to the sentence. So usually we say what was bitter? The water. What did Moshe do? Moshe takes a stick and he throws it in, and the water becomes sweet and the people drink. But the manager says, pay attention. They were bitter could either refer to the people being bitter or could refer to the water being bitter. The water is bitter. Moshe throws in a stick. It's sweet. They drink. The manager says, what was bitter? The people were bitter. They could not drink the water from Mara because they were bitter, says the Medrash, refers back to Bnei Yisrael. Had their attitude been sweet, the water would have been sweet. You know, you just travel for 3 days and you finally get to water. And now you're saying, I need a little sugar. Like you're on the verge of collapsing from drought here. The water's not good enough for you. Kimarim heim, they were bitter. Risa says, what's her tefillah? Please let me not be bitter, no matter where the story takes me. And this led to the discussion of koach of tefillah. And Hashem gives me new reserves of energy when I need it the most. My phrase at such moments is, Hashem, you put me here. Please help me. That's such a good tool. Hashem, you made this situation. You created this situation. You put me in this situation. Help me through the situation. This is a tefillah, says Risa, of humility. Realizing how small we are and how great is our need of Hashem's providence. All the sources we're connecting tonight are all related to Rav Shimshon Pinkas, who says, when you reach the zenith, fall down in humility. right? Hani Machus, who understood that you have to daven for everything, even in success and tefillah. Our Sefer, who's telling us that you have to daven for your heart to feel what your head knows. Reza says, tefillah of humility. Realize how small we are and how great is our need of Hashem's providence. Right? Amuna, Hashem is in control. Bitachon, how I live my life with what He gives me. And tikva, when He wants, He will do. He can do anything if He wills it. Let's go. Where are we? The bottom of page 109? Yes? Am I at the bottom of page 109?
Yes.
So that. Yes. So that you will pray properly during the hour of daily contemplation. So I think he's talking now about like an Erev Hispodedus. Yes? Is that what he's talking about? You should consider the significance of prayer. It is written in the Torah. Oh my gosh, I didn't know the time. Okay, let's go. It is written in the Torah, this Bereishis 2:5. Kalsiya chasada terem yeba aretz. It was before any wild shrub existed on earth. V'chal esav chasada terem yitzmach. Before any wild plants had yet sprouted. Because Hashem had not brought rain upon the earth, this Bereishis 2:5, and there was no man to work the ground. So Rashi is there, very famous. The first time we see an indication of the need for prayer in Chumash with Rashi is by this pasuk. Because Rashi says, why was there no rain? Why was there no rain? Because Hashem had not yet created Adam. There was no one to recognize, says Rashi, lahakir tovasan shel geshamim. There was no one to recognize the benefit, the beauty, the bracha, the goodness of rain. And therefore, there's no one to daven. When Adam came and he recognized the goodness of rain, he prayed for rain. Then the rain fell. Then the grass is sprouted. So in other words, Rashi is trying to explain, how could the pasuk say, v'chol esav asada terem yitzmach, nothing sprouted, if in Perek Aleph you were told that all the greenery was created? Where is the greenery? Was it created in Perek Aleph or wasn't it created in Perek Aleph? The potential was created, but all the plants were right under the ground. Why were they all under the ground? What did they need to bring them forth? Tefillah. Prayer causes Yeshua, health, life to sprout. Here we see the well-known principle. I'm skipping to the end of that paragraph because I just told it to you outside. Here we see the well-known principle that anything one seeks, be it material or spiritual, must be attained through prayer. Without prayer, we cannot achieve a single thing. Not in spirituality either. Not in patience. That stay calm is not going to help me in my, please Hashem, let it help me. It's not going to help me in my 12:15 weekly fire reminder if I don't daven that Hashem should help me to stay calm. The Gemara says in Maseches Brachos, we'll end with this thought, in Maseches Brachos, Lamed Beis, Amed Beis. The Gemara says, four things need constant strengthening. Four things need chizuk, constant strengthening. Does anyone know what they are? Torah, Maisim Tovim. The Gemara brings a pasuk for proof of each one. Torah needs strengthening. Maisim Tovim. Good deeds need strengthening. Derech Eretz needs strengthening. And why am I bringing this to you? Because what's the fourth one if I'm bringing this to you now?
Tefillah.
The Gemara says Torah learning, Maisim Tovim, good deeds, tefillah, prayer, and Derech Eretz. By the way, Derech Eretz, Rashi on the Gemara explains Derech Eretz means work. Like a craftsman should excel in his craft, and an artisan in his artist. Work. Work needs strengthening. So Torah, Maisim Tovim, tefillah, and Derech Eretz. And the pasuk that the Gemara there brings to prove that tefillah needs chizuk is from the last pasuk in Perek of Zion of Tehillim, chapter 27. Kaveh El Hashem, hope to God. Chazak v'yah meitz libecha, be strong and He will strengthen your heart. But kaveh El Hashem, notice it begins with hope to God. Then it says strengthen your heart. Then it says hope to God once again. So the Gemara says the fact that it says kaveh El Hashem, hope. And at the end, kaveh El Hashem shows you that it needs constant strengthening. It's an area that we are all needing to work on all the time. When working on this area, stop and say before Hashem, Master of the world, I see even one who does not observe Torah mitzvahs receives blessing from you. It seems one can receive blessing without prayer. Because what is this? Rasha v'tovlo. You look around and you see some people who are definitely, I'm not talking about Jews. Okay? You see people who are definitely not necessarily davening pashal rasha'im, and it seems good for them. So do you get blessing without prayer? On the other hand, I believe the words of Chazal, prayer is needed for any blessing. Ribbono shel Olam, I pray that my faith in the words of Chazal will be sound. And that although my eyes of flesh and blood cannot see the truth, I have the merit to believe in it completely. Once again, there may be a disconnect between our intellect and our emotion. And we need to daven for everything. not only the laundry list of things that we know we need to daven for, but perhaps we don't even realize the things that we need to daven for. Some people need to clarify intellectually and at length, but one must pray to maintain emuna. Nothing is achieved without tefillah. This emuna itself requires tefillah. Daven to believe. Daven to Hashem to instill that emuna into your heart. Questions or comments? Okay, so Be'ezros Hashem, Yamal Hashem, Kol Mishal Zubin Latova. And if you put in any reminders, daven to Hashem that it should help you, and daven to Hashem that mine should help me, and you should all have a meaningful week and a good Shabbos. Be'ezros Hashem. Any questions or comments? Thank you.